Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Dr. Homebrew. And today is a little bit of a different episode because it's just me. That's it. I'm here. I'm drinking beer. No. Last week, the boys were invited to be judging in person at the Mighty Mighty Club Does meeting, which is very cool. So I remote dialed in, and Brian went into the meeting. They judged two homebrews. One was a wit beer, and the other was an IPA, I believe it was. It might have been a pale. No, I think it was an IPA. Anyway, it's been a while. I forget. So we're going to play the recording of that. It was recorded live in person in front of the meeting, but it was done via Zoom. So the audio quality should be a lot better than, you know, some of the other live recordings that we've done in the past. So I'm pretty happy about it. And I think it'll be beneficial. It's a little more of a truncated, shorter, condensed sort of judging. But, you know, I think that's great. And then we also had some questions from the audience as well. So thank you again, of course, to Club Does and Jordan and Harindu and everybody there for setting everything up and making sure that we could do this technologically advanced Dr. Homebrew session. But before we get to that, I want you guys to go to 5starchemicals.com right now and sign up for their free homebrew club program. And if you don't want to go to the website real fast, you can go hit it up in one of the links from today's show description on the podcast or YouTube or wherever you find the show. You can get free product, exclusive discounts, monthly educational seminars, and free swag. The best free stuff comes from 5-Star. So check them out, 5starchemicals.com. Thank them very much for supporting the show. And of course, grab their chemicals wherever you find them. All right, well, let's get to the show. So I will take you away to the Club Does meeting.
So everybody had a chance to vote in the room. Working out some kinks we experienced with online, but we will make sure that everybody's vote is counted. Even if it takes till next week, right? Or 2 weeks, however long this last election took. We'll get it. Yeah. I don't know when the inauguration is. I first off just want to welcome our guests tonight. We have on my far left, Brian Schaar and Brian Cooper are the Doctor's Homebrew. So let's welcome them.
Boo.
And then online joining us, from a very swanky looking studio is JP Jason Petros. Can you hear us? Can you say something? Make sure we can hear you.
Yes, I can. What's going on, Dozers?
What's up?
I just want to say congratulations on your election. No matter who wins, there are very fine people on both sides.
Awesome. Thank you, JP. So, JP, why don't you just take a moment and kind of introduce the show, maybe introduce how you guys like to do things, and then we'll jump right in with our first guest brewer.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, again, thanks for having us. I think this is pretty cool. I wish I could be there, but I'm a big scaredy cat. So I sent the two Bryans there instead as sort of my canaries in the coal mine for, no, I'm kidding. But what we do here is basically Brian and Brian are, what do you guys like, recognized BJCP judges or something like that?
Yeah, we're like apprentice. Yes,
yeah, certified. Something like that. National, yeah. Grandmaster BJCP judges. And the way we envision this show is a live judging sheet. So you get to ask questions far too often in competitions just because there's no room for this kind of activity. You get your sheet back and you go, well, what does that mean? What does this mean? What do you mean it's too roasty and this other sheet says it's not roasty enough? Who do I believe? And then what do I do to fix this? Or how do I get more esters? Or how do I adjust my recipe? Or there's a weird funky thing in my beer. I don't know what it is. It's hard to really send that in for feedback to a competition. So that's where our show comes in. So you would send us beer. You email Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. And we get in touch with you. You come on the show. We taste your beer. These two boys judge, do a full score sheet for you, read it out to you. And then you get to ask questions of them. You also need to suffer through me going, well, I think I taste, I don't know, man. It's like dirt. Yep, got it. You know, that's the extent of my beer knowledge. But yeah, that's basically our show, is that we're just live beer feedback. And it's hard to top the knowledge that these two boys have. So we're just here to help anybody out. If you have any questions on your beer, and then afterwards, there's like a little Q&A where if you have any open questions just in general, but it's usually about, you know, recipe formulation or process or something along those lines.
Cool. Thank you so much, JP. And we're just going to try to keep things cranking here. We've got two Doe's Brewers that submitted their beers, and we're going to start off with Paul Bergstedt. He submitted a wit beer, correct?
Yes.
So nice. let these guys take it away.
All right. Paul, what's going on, my dude?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Not too bad, man. I'm opening your wit beer right now, and this is sort of the show. We just, you know, do have a lot of banter, and sometimes Brian Schar swears.
Only if you're lucky.
Yeah, all right. So a wit beer, is this your first? I like to ask usually if this is the first time someone has brewed this style, because I think that can tell a lot based on the feedback and sort of what to expect. So, Paul, is this something you've done before, wit beer?
I've not done a wit beer. This is the first wit beer that I've done.
Nice. Okay, what made you decide to make this? I didn't mean it like that. It's a perfectly good style. I really enjoy it. So,
yeah. I've never done it before.
Yes, okay.
I like light beers. And
attaboy.
I wanted something to drink.
Yes. Okay, perfect. All right, great. Well, it looks great. Smells great. I was a little nervous, I'm going to be honest, because I saw the bottles like, oh, it's a little cloudy. If I got a fucking hazy IPA, I'm going to put my head through a wall. But it's a wit beer. We're good. I think the next one is a hazy, so I apologize, John. But anyways, all right. And then let's see, who wants to go first? Why don't we let Brian Cooper start off, and let's run through Paul's beer, give him the score sheet. And
then just while we're here in the club, I wanted to ask how long you've been brewing and how long you've been a part of the Doe's Club.
I've been a part of this awesome club for not even a year yet. So it's been exciting.
Oh, fish.
All right. I've been brewing since 95, but I took like a 10-year break. I'm an ex-chemist, and I wanted to use something in my field, and COVID came around and I started brewing again. So
yeah,
probably more seriously the last three, four years, it's been most seriously brewing.
A chemist and in IT. That is two very technical fields. Very detail oriented. You're going to make a great brewer again.
Scientists make the best beer, you know. Like,
were you like Walter Whiting it with that 10 years?
I thought about it. The blue trays.
Yeah. The blue stuff. Yeah.
Well, good to be with you here, and share your beer. Is everybody getting the beer out there now? Yeah. Yes. Okay. So we're going to taste this along with you guys. I'm just going to start going through my sheet for his wit beer. For those of you that want to follow along on your phone, it's category 24A. You can get the BGCP style guidelines in there and go through some of the style attributes that we're discussing about the beer. In the nose, I'm getting a light, smooth, lemony orange note popping out at first, followed by a low, spicy coriander. Pretty backgroundy. But the malt is just a light, bready, doughy, kind of, you know, mellow malt. It shouldn't be a super like heavy malt beer. So that's fine. Hops are low and it's kind of spicy with a little herbal in the aroma. The beer seems cleanly fermented. I'm not getting any DMS or diacetyl. There's a light little pleasant pepperiness to it, I believe from the Belgian style fermentation there. That's kind of typical. That pepper is kind of poking out a little bit, maybe even over the coriander, but light yellow colored beer in the appearance, mostly excellently formed white head, mainly very fine bubbles, kind of like I poured it last night. It was like cappuccino foam. I poured it straight down. It was like really, you know, tight foam. So it was a nice foam stand there. Persisted quite well. Only thing is, the glass I poured last night was very, very clear. And it was the top of the bottle, which had been sitting in refrigeration for a while. There was no instruction to like roll the bottle or anything necessarily. Sometimes in a competition, you might have an instruction like that. But I just poured it. This one is a little bit hazier. So and I gave it a 2 for appearance, just knocked one down for the, you know, you should definitely have that cloudiness. It's a requirement of the style, but I probably let this one pass, although it's really not very cloudy. it should be very cloudy from starch, haze, and or yeast, which gives it kind of a milky whitish yellow appearance normally. This is, I probably would still keep the point off for that, but just one point. Getting into the flavor, a light grainy malt followed by low, clean, peppery quality, a light zesty orange peel, some low spicy or and herbal hops. The beer finishes pleasantly dry, which is nice. Just has a little bit of a bitter, pithy quality kind of in the background. It's not too distracting for me, but it's, you know, just the quality of the orange peel as it's presenting itself here is just a little bit rough to me. Again, not too bad, just a fine point. Clean Belgian ale fermentation. The beer is balanced to kind of this yeast character, the pepperiness that's in there, and some of the flavor additions. Some of these beers will have a little sourness to them. This one does not. I'm not getting any sourness at all. It does have a bit of bitterness lingering into the aftertaste. Mouthfeel-wise, it's medium light bodied. It's actually kind of crisp, not very creamy or mouthfeeling. There's no warmth here. It's just a bit biting and maybe doesn't quite have the smoothness or the little bit of, you know, body-wise, this one should be medium light to medium body. I guess it's medium light, so that's fine to me. Still kind of in the right territory for style. So carbonation is actually really nice, medium high carbonation. Not getting any real astringency here. 3 out of 5 for mouthfeel. In the overall impression, this wood beer overall has a very clean, pleasant, inviting aroma. It hits most of the marks for style, and the beer's really enjoyable as it is. I definitely like a bit more of the characteristic haze, like quite a bit more. So perhaps adding, you know, I don't know how much wheat and or oats you added, but, you know, adding more of the unmalted wheat, which is classic for the style, and get it to stay in suspension that way, the, you know, and not let it break down into, you know, sugars, basically. The beer is well-crafted as it is. I like the subtle use of the spice and the little peppery quality of the yeast is good, but it's poking out a little bit higher than I might like. Just has a bit more of that orange pith quality than I'd really desire. I'd suggest using that, you know, fresh Curacao orange peel. And am I saying that right? Try to incorporate only the outermost layers of that zest and avoid going too much deeper into that. The deeper layers of the fruit, if you're zesting it yourself, or you're just buying a product and dumping it in, just make sure that's as fresh as possible. But, you know, ideally, you know, start with the fruit and go with that. And you'll get a fresher flavor in most cases going that route. I gave the beer a 34 out of 50. It is a very good beer, very enjoyable as it is. And I think it meets the style pretty well. So thanks for sharing.
All right. Very good. Very concise, Cooper. I appreciate that. All right, Char, let's go, man. What do you got?
Excellent. So my usual question, Paul, are you in a homebrew club?
I formally am after the last 10 months.
Excellent. What club would that be?
Those?
All right.
Those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
those.
I've...
Those.
Yeah. You know, this is a good excuse. I've lived in Martinez and Concord for almost 5 years now, and I haven't really been homebrewing since I've lived here, and I've needed an excuse to kind of kick my butt and come to a Doe's meeting. So thank you for the opportunity. I'm really happy to do this. And when I actually start homebrewing again at some point in the future, I will join Doe's.
There's
in my
one,
local club.
One membership slot. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's
one,
good to
one
know.
Spot left.
That's good. That's good sales right there. You want to jump? There's only one left. You want to
it's
jump
fast.
Off? Exactly.
It is Cyber Monday, Char. So get on there.
Right. Hey, I'm aware
two
enough
memberships
of,
for the price
yeah.
of three.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you for sharing this beer. I really like wit beer. It's one of the styles I would make at least once a year when I would brew a lot back like 10, 15 years ago. It's one of my favorites. Bottle inspection, it was fine. Not really relevant here. Aroma, I got a low bready malt, a low coriander, really lower coriander than I would have expected. A low citrus aroma, a little bit less of the orange than I would have wanted. And it actually came across a little lemon to me, which is kind of odd. And when I talk to you at the end about like what you did with that. And kind of skipping ahead to the overall impression to what Cooper was saying about the Curacao oranges, I always had really good luck just getting like a big navel orange at Safeway and getting a zester. And I had the, used to have a microplane, which is great for just getting the zest off and just zesting one navel orange and putting that in. I mean, you're probably not getting, you know, it's not going to be a 50 point beer at that point, but I've never been a fan of that dried orange peel stuff you get at the homebrew store. It's just, it never seems like it's going to give you a good flavor. It seems old and oxidized. And I'd rather have, personally, I think you get better results with like just a zest of any orange that you're going to put in there. You can dial that up and down to your preference based on just repeated brewing of that beer.
Yeah. Brian, we're all old and oxidized, all right? Don't discriminate. Come on. Give us all a break, please.
Exactly. No quarter for us, JP.
No.
So it gave aroma 7 out of 12. There's no off aromas. It was 7 out of 12 mm-hmm. solely, I think, for recipe type issues. Appearance, a medium-sized, persistent white head. I got a low haze, which the sample that I had at home was more hazy than this really clear sample. And the one I had at home probably had been jostled some, you know, kind of snaking it out of the back of the freezer enough so that the haze was, I didn't want to knock the point off for not being hazy enough. If it were like this, I would have knocked the point off. So, but there was some haze there. Light gold color, exactly what it ought to look like, 3 out of 3. Flavor, initially I got a malty character with some of that light breadiness that was in the aroma. I got low citrus, again, kind of a more of a lemon than an orange, which I thought was a little weird. Low coriander. Bitterness comes up to balance in mid-palate. This is not a super bitter beer. So this is one that you need to have just enough to keep it from being cloying, and it definitely did that job. No hop flavor. It was well attenuated and balanced. In general, lower citrus and coriander than I would have expected for this style. No off flavors. So I gave this a total of 11 out of 20. Again, not because of anything technically wrong, but sort of recipe issues that caused this to be not quite what you think of the best examples of style. Mouthfeel, but it was creamy, medium body, medium high carbonation, no warming, no astringency. I definitely gave you a couple more points than Cooper did. It's 5 out of 5 on mouthfeel here. Overall impression, 6 for a total of 32. This is a tasty and flavorful beer. There's no obvious off flavors or technical issues, so good job. The only issues that I had noticed were recipe type issues. I would bump up the coriander and the citrus maybe by 50% at least next time. And also, as to what Cooper was saying, you know, unmalted wheat is kind of the hallmark of this style, because it's the unmalted wheat that has those long chain starches that don't ferment out and that stay in suspension that give it the haze, which is why people make hazy IPAs and they use unmalted wheat and oats and all the stuff that leads to a haze. So I would be curious if you used any unmalted wheat or not. And if not, next time you should use some. But thank you very much for sharing, Paul. It's a tasty beer and I enjoyed it.
So I drink a lot of this at a party. It's a great
Yeah. And just before we get to Paul's questions, I sort of echo what everyone else says, which is, I guess, what I say. It's almost like a light wit beer. There's not a whole lot of body really to it. And for a while, this beer is weird because when it's super cold, I just took it out of the fridge like 2 minutes before we started this. I swear I was getting like a little green apple, not a whole lot of spices, but as it warms up, those things all kind of poke through. The green apple goes away, and maybe it was sort of confusing that with that lemon thing that you were talking about, Char. But it is very, it seems a little bit overly bitter, and you have to sort of fight for all the other wit beer attributes of it. So I agree. I think everything needs to come up like 20% on this guy. I mean, you really want to taste that wheat, and you want to get those spices in there too. But overall, it's a great beer. I mean, I'm almost done with a bottle, which never happens.
Yeah,
I'm curious. It was about 5-6.
5-6, okay.
That's very high for a wit beer, Paul. What are you doing to me?
Wait till you try my triple.
It's 18%.
Yeah.
12. This probably dried out quite a bit on you, though. It seems like the yeast really attenuated well.
Yep. So yeah. This is a fun beer. I hate to ruin it. Is this the time I need to talk about the beer?
Go for it.
So this beer is meant to be no citrus, no spices. So there's nothing in there but hops.
Okay. Wow. So okay.
Pacific Jade at 10 minutes, and then
let me back up just a second before you give your hot bill.
He's going to change his mind. Watch this.
A wit beer that tasted like a wit beer without the spices. Okay. So was it like you made an American wheat and called it a wit beer? You intended to have some other things pick up those flavors. Gotcha.
So just the hops did it, and then you're telling about coriander and orange. All that came from the hops and the yeast.
Yeah, there's definitely a pretty big citrusy character to the beer, but it's not like falling where we expected it to, that you would get from a clean zested orange.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was sort of like grapefruit pithy, and that sort of was throwing like maybe this is a little overly bitter, which now there's no spices and it makes sense. But good on you for messing with these guys. First of all, they deserve it.
I love to do triples, John triples. I like it with coriander, but I tried this one without any spice. And I know there's some conflict on this that it should not have that. But I thought it was interesting. Not as much a Hoya Garden, but more just a plain, clean beer. And that's what I like.
Cool. I interrupted you in the middle of starting your hot bill.
50% Pilsner, 50% flaked wheat.
Malt bill, okay.
But you're talking about hops, and I cut you off in the middle of talking about hops.
So Pacific Jade, 10 minutes, and at Flame Out.
So all Pacific Jade.
That's it.
Wow.
Wow, that's a pretty layered beer for nothing. I mean, there's nothing in it. It's like fake beer.
Yeah. And then there's some flaked, there's flaked oats.
So those wild. Flaked grains are gonna get in your mash, and the enzymes are gonna rip them apart, turn those starches into sugars. You definitely when it's pressed like that, all of the starches are accessible to those enzymes. So you do want to use some unmalted grain if you want to get that haze right, which would be key for the style. But you used a lot of wheat with that Pils malt. The malt character itself is really good. So
one other thing about the beer, I bought new equipment. It's my first time using a new Conical, and the Conical didn't work. So it was probably exposed to air, ironically.
What happened?
So the release valve didn't bubble once the whole time.
Oh.
Ooh. Maybe it's stuck open.
So brand new equipment, and they got a new lid. It's fixed for all my future brews. Ironically, I was expecting worse flavors, and it worked out.
Yeah. What yeast did you use, Paul? What was your fermentation like?
It was a Y yeast 394 Belgian wit beer.
Yeah. Mm. That's usually what I would use for a wit beer.
Three packets. I did a 22 gallon fermentation. There's 20 gallon fermentation.
Wow. What about temperatures? Like starting, finishing, or do you just let it ride at one temperature?
Let's see. 67.
You held it there.
And then went to 72, finished out 75.
And you made a 20 gallon batch? Damn. All right. That's ambitious.
I've gotten that, and that's what I'm doing all my beers now. So, and I think that helps it mellows all the beers out. Yeah.
Do so do you just like give it to these guys, or you drink it all yourself at home, or what do you do?
There's 22 here, gallons. So.
You can do split batches too. It's are kind of fun. You can take the 22 gallons of wort and ferment with four different yeasts, or add spices to some, leave some unspiced. Play around with it a little bit and have some fun. But I like what you did here, and it's a very good beer. Thanks for sharing.
Could we maybe see if there are maybe like one or two observations or questions from the audience in the room here?
I got a bunch of lemon.
Lots of lemon.
Lemony.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was reading the style guide, and that seemed totally appropriate for the style. I was curious why it being lemon instead of orange was a hit on the score.
The classic examples are all that dried orange peel, like the classic Dutch wit beer, Belgian wit beer. So it's probably acceptable, and probably I should have given you back a couple of points on that. But it's one of those things that you drink wit beer, and you, especially if you have some of the classic ones, it's orangey. It's supposed to be orangey. not like a Blue Moon orange. You know, that's a whole over the top, like 5X what it's supposed to be. And you're not sticking an orange slice on the rim of that glass either. But the traditional wheat beer is orange and not lemon. So that's why.
Yeah.
So not because of the description, because of the exam.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy that's called out citrusy orangey. I mean, citrus has a wide range you could accept. True. But if you had one that was full of grapefruit flavors, it wouldn't be right.
Right.
So
Kerber.
Yeah.
It's interesting. With this kind of being like a crystal, almost like a West Coast wood beer. I've had a bunch of these microbreweries all around the country that are just like this, where they're not hazy. It's mostly Easter eye flavors. They're not adding a lot of stuff to it. I don't know if they're trying to cater to a different crowd with this, but it's
American wheat beer.
Maybe this is where it starts. This is a new style.
That's right.
You're going to see a lot more of as it.
Yeah. Blue Moon, give me a call.
Well, I just want to say, like, we're going to move on to the next one, but I think, like, Paul, just for you, like, a 34, 33 consensus is awesome for your first crack at a wit beer.
Yeah, it's still very good.
Which has some sneaky stuff to it. So, well done. Let's give it up for Paul.
Yeah, that's still the very good range, right?
He also has a really, up, John.
Oh, yeah. Really nice label, too. I like that.
There you go. I like it, man. I like people who are going to pull tricks on you guys.
You know, that might probably equally well as an American wheat. It would have been too lemony.
Yeah.
It would have gotten dinged for the fruit flavor as an American wheat. But American wheat is often clear. It doesn't have to be hazy like a Belgian wheat. So it probably would have gotten a similar score if it were entered as American wheat.
I could agree with that. Yeah.
Does
that
well, there you go.
Think?
Yeah. The clarity and the lemoniness. So could be.
Yeah, that lemoniness was crazy, and especially as it warms up, it sort of becomes more dominant. What I thought was grapefruit sort of transferred into this lemon zest.
Yeah.
Thing.
Maybe somewhat of a, you know, you could do a hop forward blonde ale, and that could work too.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. A blonde ale. You know, this is an excellent point about if you do a beer like this and some of the hop character comes through. I never really thought about Pacific Gem or Pacific Jade as being like a real lemony hop, but it's clear having that be the only hop in here. I would bet that lemon comes primarily as a hop flavor.
You know what? So that would
that's
be good.
Just something good to know. That
Paul, you're doing 20 gallons of this. I mean, you could take that and just experiment with different yeast. Same wort. That would transform, you know, like you said, blonde ale. You could probably maybe squeeze out a pale ale out of that. I don't know. You could do some stuff with it, man. It would be interesting to figure out.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, man. All right. So that was Paul with his wit beer that had no spices in it, which really tripped me out. And I don't know if we really got that point across, but it tasted like low level, all of the usual wit beer spices, but there were none. It was just hops. So I thought that was pretty fun. And the guys kind of tripped out on it too. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to come with the next beer and then probably it for the breaks. And then we're just going to have, I think, some Q&A at the end. And that's it. So I hope you're enjoying Dr. Homebrew live from Club Doze. We'll be right back. What's up, homebrewers? Hey, let me ask you a question. You spend a lot of time making your beer taste the way you want it to, right? Some of you even send beers into Dr. Homebrew for feedback. Well, the next logical step in your creativity is to craft some labels for those beers. And there's nobody better at creative labels than GrogTag. Their easy-to-use designs let you turn out some pretty amazing stuff like labels, bottle caps, coasters, even six-pack carriers with minimal effort on your part. They have a range of label sizes that fit any vessel you can think of. Bottles, cans, growlers, kegs. GrogTag has you covered. Head over to GrogTag.com today and check out their line of amazing, fully customizable templates and get your beer looking its best. GrogTags are water resistant, reusable, and will have your naked bottles looking great in no time. That's GrogTag.com and be sure to use code BNARMY at checkout to save 10% on your order.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, up next, which you should be able to see on your screen at home or up here, we've got John Jones on the left and Travis Stevens with an IPA. So take it away, guys.
All right. John and Travis, welcome. Thanks for coming in. Jeez. You know, you get into a pattern, and it's hard to break. Anyway, thanks for bringing beer for everybody to taste. I appreciate that. So, American IPA, is it is there like a subcategory, just straight up American IPA? Is it supposed to be hazy? What do you got?
It wasn't intentionally supposed to be hazy. We wanted it as clear as possible, but we were also trying to make sure it was packaged on the right time so that it was fresh for everybody.
There you go. Okay. Well, I can accept that. I respect that very much. You want to do the clear IPA, and I salute you for that. Is this
21A?
Yeah, and this is a stupid question, but is this the first IPA you've ever brewed? He asks, knowing that everybody lives in Northern California, and that would be just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, okay, all right, great. Is there anything specific? Sometimes we'd like to maybe get anything specific that you want these guys to address. Like, is it a recipe, or is there maybe an off flavor you taste, or what do you want help with this?
Timing and hop quality, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
Freshness and just the timing of when to package, that kind of stuff.
I feel like Harindu's trying to tickle me through Zoom.
Packaging is like one of the most difficult things at a homebrew level, probably at a professional level. I'm not a professional, but I suspect it's the most challenging part of professional brewing too. Because you're so much stuff can go wrong in packaging, and you just don't even realize until you start thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I think surviving is the most the hardest thing to do professionally, and then maybe packaging.
I thought the waiting was the hardest part.
No, that's just a song. All right, Kashar, why don't you go ahead and start off with this American IPA, please?
All right. So are you guys... Never mind. All right. So, yeah, thank you for sharing. I really enjoyed this. It was helpful to have on the label, or maybe unhelpful. If you were entering a competition, you probably wouldn't have wanted to say 100% Citra on the label. Thing was on, but it was helpful for me to say, okay, 100% Citra, I get that. Even if that hadn't been on the label, I'm kind of gently kidding you a little bit. This is very obviously a Citra beer. Very strong aroma of orange, dank, diesel. I mean, all in a pleasant way, right? This is not, oh, diesel. No, it actually smells really good. And my first thought was, wow, this is a whole lot of hops you guys crammed in here. And they smell pretty fresh and, you know, and really good. So that definitely dominates the aroma. It's fresh and inviting. I do get a little low malt aroma, which is good. I mean, a beer like this, if you don't get malt aroma, you're not really going to get dinged because this is not a big malt beer. But it's always nice to have that low malt aroma in the background in a big American IPA. No diacetyl, no off aromas, 10 out of 12 for aroma. Appearance, there's a low persistent white head. It's a medium gold color. It's a little hazy. And again, it's weird. It's a little hazier at home. And I suspect that snaking those out of the back of the fridge.
I'll bottle first as well.
Oh, interesting. That's, and I remember I was thinking, you know, this is not hazy enough to be a hazy IPA. And they're not going for a hazy IPA, clearly. But it's too, it went a little, the one I had at home went a little beyond that polyphenol hop haze. Yeah, so, and probably if you bottled it first, there's probably some yeast or some trub or something that was in there. But I did knock off just 1 point for the haze. So 2 out of 3 for appearance. If I had judged this sample, it would have been a 3 out of 3. But you judge what's in front of you, and it is what it is. Flavor is initially, gosh, citrus and dank and diesel, citra hop. As weird. You want it to be.
Yeah, and that's,
it's
so
strange.
Weird.
But it's fresh and it's very upfront, and it's I really like that it's just bright and fresh to me with the hop character. Hop bitterness and the malt catch up to balance the hop flavor mid-palate. This is not an aggressively bitter American IPA, which doesn't have to be. I mean, not every American IPA has to be 100 IBU theoretical. It doesn't have to rip off your face with bitterness to not
say it again.
Easy IPA. You know, it can be a 40, 50 IBU and still be perfectly good American IPA.
Yes.
Long finish. It's balanced toward the hop flavor. It's well attenuated. I really enjoyed this, and I'll keep coming back for more. This is a 14 out of 20 for flavor. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5, medium body, medium carbonation. It was maybe a little low, but not enough to make me want to deduct any points for that. You know, low warming, it's perky, not creamy or astringent. Again, 5 out of 5. Overall impression, 8 for a total of 39, which is excellent. So it did an excellent job getting the citra flavor and aroma so thoroughly into this beer. And you were kind of nodding when I mentioned carbonation. Like, the only thing I might recommend is try to get a little more carbonation in, but that's so hard to do in homebrew. And it's so hard to get it carbonated to the right level and then transfer that level of carbonation to a bottle. It's just devilishly difficult. And I think you guys did a fantastic job with what you did. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. They're gonna tell us that the recipe that they used coriander, right? They used Paul's coriander.
Yeah, coriander. Listen, as coriander,
you can't
and it
taste it. That's the thing. Yeah, I thought it was really funny to use it. You can't taste it. That's my goal.
It's no hops. Just
They used spices and fruits to get all the hop qualities. Yeah.
We didn't actually brew it. I just went to the Safeway. Cooper.
It's secretly called Let's Trick Dr. Homebrew Session here.
Yeah, we have the commercial brewer here. Yeah, we're going to bring him in and fight you. Cooper, go ahead.
I was going to ask if you guys brew as a team often or...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Great.
Nice.
Can't
afford
it alone. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, I noticed when I got the bottle, it had a very, very high feel. I don't know if that's something you commonly do, but I had to tilt the bottle to see if there was... any headspace whatsoever.
We do,
and it for was our ideas, just for oxygen.
Yeah,
just for, you know, it didn't seem to hurt the head or the carbonation to me, or any other aspects of it really, or like, and it, obviously it didn't have any oxidation. So I was just wondering why, you know, usually you inspect the bottle for the fill that's like, you know, half an inch from the top or so, and this is just I never knock it down for that. It's just like if the beer tastes and looks and is great, then there's no worries. So yeah, it did have a slight hiss upon opening in that little headspace. There was some CO2 pushing out. In the aroma, I get a big, bright, citrusy, resiny pineapple hop aroma up front. It's very pungent. Notes of diesel, a little bit of garlic underlying, not in an unpleasant way to me, but just, you know, that kind of interesting, like, it's expressing itself in a lot of different ways here.
You know, what's funny is if people that don't drink beer, especially hoppy beer, are listening to this show, like my wife does sometimes, and they hear like, diesel and garlic, and their first thought's going to be like, oh my God, you guys want to drink that?
Yeah.
But it actually does have a good character to it. And it's not like you're licking a gas pump. I mean,
well, you say that, Char. And then, yeah, you say that, and then we all wonder why more people don't homebrew.
Yeah.
Come make this thing that may or may not be food and a fuel source. We don't actually know.
So, I mean, it was interesting to me. The first time I ever got garlic in a hop, it's just like, oh yeah, like a Columbus hop beer. It can have that garlic and even oniony kind of character to it sometimes.
Oh, Summit has the extra onion too. Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, it smells like, sort of smells like garlic bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without in a very good way. Yeah.
I actually like, I kind of enjoy the diesel-y hop kind of character in some ways. Sometimes it comes, a lot of times it comes across to me as a tropical, and I do get some tropical in here as well. And it's kind of, there's a little grapefruity there's just a whole lot going on in the hop from just
It's like candied grapefruit. It's not pungent. Yes. It's not tart. Yes. It's not very biting, but it's like candied grapefruit juice, if that's a thing. I don't know if you can candy a juice, but
there's not much to say about the malt here. It's just supporting only. And there's a medium low ferment derived fruity esters as general, but they're all hiding behind all of that hop character. It's very pungent, and I like that. Clean ale fermentation, no DMS or diacetyl. 10 out of 12 for aroma. Appearance wise, it's a clear, deep yellowy gold color with great head, fine white bubbles, lacing the glass and sticking around very well. It has light haze only, but that's okay per the guidelines. This is not too hazy in my book, so I give it a 3 out of 3 for appearance. Flavor-wise, bright, clean hops up front. Notes of pineapple, pine, resin, diesel being primary. Subtle undertones of dank, tropical fruit, melon, and some faint berry. The bitterness to me, it's a little deceptive. This actually maybe tastes a little more bitter to me than the one I had last night, but it's probably not variation. I probably just had too much spicy food yesterday or something. bitterness is actually, it's kind of medium low still. It's not super high. It's one of the more, what I would call more of the modern twist on the IPA. It's not pushing 70 IBUs or anything like that. Low clean, bready malt, the balances to the hops. Clean ale fermentation here is obvious. The diesel notes kind of linger into that aftertaste and stick around for a while. Finishes dry, no detectable flaws, 15 out of 20 for flavor. Mouthfeel wise, medium light body. I'd say maybe just a bit on the light side for style, but it can go to medium light. Medium high carbonation. I felt like the carbonation wasn't too bad. It keeps pushing up the head. The bubbles are just pinpoint. You can see them rising up through it the whole time. It keeps on going, but it doesn't really pop in your mouth explosively or anything like that. It's just, it's there, and it's not bad. Fine for the style. No discernible warmth here. It's not astringent or really biting. It's kind of more soft and approachable side of IPAs. It goes down pretty smooth, almost too easy. So the one thing is, it's maybe a little, almost a bit, I hate to call it watery, but it's almost like hop water to me. It's like there's not enough, a lot of malt here to support that. And if you read the guidelines, it's like even the 2021, it's still geared much toward the 90s and 2000s, the aughts style IPAs, which things have changed since then. And I, I don't write the guidelines, but I know the people who do. I think that, I kind of judged it as what I consider to be a modern American IPA. So, and gave it a fair shake as far as that goes. Cause I think you can allow for a lot more variation than there currently is in the guidelines. And maybe that will change in the future, or maybe they'll invent another style to add to it. Probably in GABF, they have 16 categories for all these different kinds of IPAs
Ryan, we don't have. Do you think if it had a little more carbonation, it would have been perceived as having higher body?
No, I think it would be more seltzery and more water-like then to me. It would just push more of those hop flavors, which are great. And there's not much malt there to push anything else than what I'm getting. So overall impression of, I went to 3 out of 5 for mouthfeel just because I felt a little light and watery, kind of seltzery. Overall impression, a really fantastic modern West Coast IPA. Great complexity of hop flavors and aromas. Just pillowy, soft, and smoothly drinkable. Strict adherence to the BJCP style would dictate more bitterness, but I like this where it is for the balance of this particular beer. In many ways, it could benefit from just a bit more body and probably just a little bit more richness of malt. Not necessarily throw a bunch of caramel in there. Mess around with some malt, mix some, I don't know what your malt bill is, mix some Pils malt with some Simpson's Golden Promise or something. Just a little bit of richness to it in there, or some, just some base malt, or Maris Otter, experiment around with different malts to find a malt that's going to push a little more, just a little more flavor alongside that hop, because it's the hop's just really overpowering everything.
And ask your homebrew store what malt is right for you.
I'm a hop head, so that's coming from me. That's okay. This that would keep it a little less watery. And per se, it's just a fine point. It's not like, oh, this is like watery, seltzery, nothing like that. Just give it a little more substantiality, if that's a word. There's a touch more alcohol to do it. It could take a little more of that. It could lend the impression of more fullness. And,
no, don't do it. Don't do it. It's a trap. Don't do it, guys.
Great. Yeah. I will say just great use of the hop. It smells very fresh.
Yeah.
Hops used are quality. And I'd like to hear about how when you added them. We could talk about where it might shift if we did want to shift. I gave it a 39 as well. I think I actually landed a little higher than that last night when I was first judging it. And then I got that as I got the overall impression, that's where you kind of adjust things. And so it's like, it is just a bit watery. I'd like just a little bit more underneath there. And it's like, this is pushing into, it's excellent already. It's pushing, you know, if you push it towards outstanding with a little more work on it, and you guys are doing some great stuff. So thank you for sharing.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, those are very high scores, by the way, you guys. Good job. Yeah, you know, there's a little creaminess. And I think that, you know, if there was a little more carbonation, like the guys were saying, that would go away a little bit. But it is sort of an anomaly. It is sort of a weird beer because it does have these tropical, very modern hops. And that diesel thing isn't really like diesel-y, like when we're getting Chinook, you know, for the first time, and all the homebrewers got the shitty Chinook, where it's like, oh, it smells like rope and just weird nonsense. It doesn't smell like that, but it's there just enough. It's pungent just enough to mix with those tropical, like sort of dried mango fruits to make something wholly unique. The aroma is fantastic in this beer. I don't like IPAs. This the flavor of this is very, very good. I actually really enjoy this, and I might actually, don't tell anybody else, but I might finish the bottle.
Oh,
so there you go.
I finished the bottle last night when I drank this beer.
But it is sort of, this beer sort of reminds me of like, or IPAs kind of transitioned out of the 90s, like malt-wise, out of the crystal malt and whatever, but with a modern twist from a beer that was, you know, 15 years ago. It's very interesting because it's not super alcoholic. It's not super bitter. It's very flavorful, but it's not really, light as some IPAs can be now or maybe 5 years ago. It's cool beer. I really appreciate this. This is very neat. Why don't you guys take us through your recipe?
Yeah, so it's 50-50 Pilsner and two row. So that's where I'm thinking okay. Let's add a little bit more two row to it. I don't know if that'll give it more body or not, but there's also a little bit of white wheat in there. I think like a pound in a 6 gallon batch. That's like 10%.
That's probably where the head is just staying.
Yeah, the head is.
That's why I love awesome. It. Gotta use, that's a nice trick.
A little bit of carbone. Yeah. So about 5% of that. And then a little bit of acidulated just for mash pH.
Yeah.
So it's very basic. Basic grain bill. I mean, that's, we've been doing a lot of just 100% Pilsner, you know, and then just tons of hops. So that you guys got a little bit different style.
Yeah.
We're playing with the white wheat, and that is from our IPA guru Max over here. So it seems like it really adds that lacing, the head retention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a ton of lacing on all of these hops that you really only get from wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And so that's why I also think when you guys got the beer, it was probably a little bit hazy at first. We added a ton of fining, right? And we were trying to balance the timing of when to give you guys a fresh beer versus a clear beer, but not as hop bursting. But today, guys, it's still really, like, it's still climbing out of the glass, I think, with aroma. So I think that's part of what we're learning.
Yeah, you nailed that. Absolutely.
So when did you put your hops in? I presume you put hops in every place you could put hops in.
Pretty much.
Yeah, boil, whirlpool, all the Citra. Like, we actually had a Citra at 30 minutes. And then, so the IBUs is at 50. So you guys nailed it, like right on that, like mid range.
Yeah.
And add most of it, so a little bit for 30, 10, 5, and flame out just to get the Citra layered in there.
It's very old school.
A ton of whirlpool. Like the whirlpool, I think, for a 5 gallon batch was around 4 ounces, I think.
Wow.
And then, at 180 for 30 minutes. So I added bitterness there as well. And then almost 3 ounces per gallon at about 16 to 18 ounces in the dry hop.
Good.
This is a lot of, if you win best of show with a beer like this, you bring it to the brewery that's going to brew your beer. Their accountant is like, oh my God.
Well, I don't know. Some of the breweries.
That's why we brew the tea.
You know, it's interesting talking about so many dry hops. So I know it was Jamil brought this up on Brew Strong not that long ago. I'm pretty sure it was Jamil, about that really intense dry hopping will cause some of those like candied grapefruit, candied fruit type flavors. And I think they're pleasant and they're good. But when it's like horizons of dry hopping, people would never have dreamed of, you know, 20 years ago, and people do it today. Yeah, you get those kind of candied fruit flavors out of it, which I think like in this beer can really be a good layer of complexity to it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could get like one or two observations or questions from.
Final gravity 10, 12.
10, 10.
10, 10, almost got it.
Okay.
So to me, it was way more stylistically into a hazy, way more stylistically New England than West Coast. So I'm really wanting to know how you define IBUs when you're tasting. Because to me, this tastes like a 25 or 30.
I don't know that I would have guessed 50 myself. I think, you know, it is kind of medium bitterness, but it's I would put this more towards the, you know, it's way clearer than most of the hazy IPAs you get. It's just not there. Like even in the 90s, there were plenty of IPAs that had haze like this, and it was just normal. It still is. I don't ding it for that at all, but yeah, the bitterness, I think it was fine. It was I felt it was maybe a little bit on the lower side than it being, but it wasn't pushing 70 either. So yeah.
Yeah. There can be blurred lines in these things. And you don't have an IBU meter when you're judging.
Yeah.
And I mean your tongue is certainly not a perfect IBU meter.
Your calculation won't be right either.
Exactly.
Lab analyze it.
But there's on the hazy side, right? I've had Treehouse beers before and they're amazing. But what I like about the Treehouse hazy IPAs, you know, brewed in like Massachusetts or somewhere out there, is they have a firm West Coast bitterness. So they're not flabby and soft. And I mean, that's maybe out of style for a hazy IPA. So there are, you know, for as different as those styles are, there are things that you can kind of come closer together on, you know, hop bitterness or hop flavor or what have you. Than you might think.
But hazy is going to have more of that that rounder mouthfeel from all the hop the polyphenols with the starches that combine to make that haziness. And you feel it in your mouth. It's you know, like juice like, you know, there's a reason they call them juicy, not just the hop, you know, fruit flavors.
And oats, right? Like,
yeah.
So we got to wrap things up for this part of the meeting, but I just want to congratulate you guys for an awesome beer and again, a very excellent score. And just putting it out there, like this is just something that we thought we'd try just to see, hey, what's it like to have Dr. Homebrew come here and have a little more in-depth in terms of judging? Because a lot of you maybe haven't ever put a beer in competition or you're not a judge, but you're thinking, oh, maybe I should do that. Doe's offers BJCP classes, and we actually advanced a lot of judges this year, and even during COVID, right before that is actually when I passed the test. But if you want to get more feedback like this, we actually have some very high-ranking judges in our club, but you don't even have to take it to like a national or grandmaster level judge. Any one of us judges, sometimes we, you know, flex a little bit and wear a pin or something like that. you can always ask us, you know, would you be willing to fill out a score sheet? And that's something that we at Doe's love to help people get better, help you, because definitely entering your beers in competition and even more so becoming a judge makes you a better brewer.
Absolutely.
And I want to thank Brian and JP for coming on here and sharing their talents and skills with us. And I want to give you guys, maybe JP, maybe you guys kind of like the Hot Ones YouTube video, like tell us what you're doing, what's going on the Brewing Network or on Dr. Homebrew. What should we look for?
That's a good question. I don't actually know because I don't pay attention to anything.
We are getting beer from brewers like you.
Yeah, I'm sort of
the judge.
They just wake me up to do a show and then I go back to sleep. I don't know if the Brewing Network is even still a thing anymore. No, it is. We're doing great. Speaking of Jamil, Char was saying, you know, on Brew Strong, Brew Strong is back on the Brewing Network. Took a hiatus for a little bit. The last few shows have been with Mitch Steele formerly of Stone, and then now with New Realm, of course, out of Atlanta, Georgia. So Jamil and Mitch have been having some good conversations over there. And then we're just doing our show here on the Dr. Home, but we're trying to get more brewers like you guys to come on the show and partake. There's going to be a couple episodes dropping this week or next week. And yeah, it's, you know, we're just sitting here trying to survive. You know what I mean?
If you want to learn to be a judge, you know, one way to do it is we go through sheets and we write. I mean, I hope our sheets sounded like reasonably good quality sheets to you guys. If you would get that in a competition, that you'd be happy with it. If you listen to the show, and we're not the be all end all, but you can actually learn a little bit if you're studying to be a judge. I've had people approach me. I'm just honored when people come up and say that I listen to your show a lot. I became a judge. You know, you guys helped inspire me and educate along the way. Another thing we love doing is to help people with beers that are not 39 point, 40 point beers. You know, what the hell is going wrong with my beer? I need help fixing it.
Yes.
And we can help guide people, you know, and those are some of the funnest beers to talk about because we just have a very open conversation. We try to be very approachable and just realistic, not blow smoke up anybody's ass, but this is what your beer is. This is what we're getting. What was your recipe? Let's talk it through and help you make a better one.
Some of my favorite shows have been beers that have been in the teens and then, and then the brewer rebrews it.
There you go.
Yes.
In a few months and sends it back in, and you get to see that progression and you get to talk about it. It's neat. It's really cool. I appreciate it. It's awesome.
So again, thank you guys. And send your beers into Dr. Homebrew, get on the show. It's a more in-depth, longer format. But thank you again. Let's give them a big hand.
Thank you, Doze, for having us.
Fun stuff. I want to thank Club Doze again, the mighty Club Doze out of Walnut Creek, California here. So if you're in the Bay Area, and you happen to be cruising through, I believe they meet like on Monday nights or something like that. Hit them up on the website and attend a meeting. They're fun. They're a fun group of people. They know how to brew, and they would welcome you with open taps, or I guess technically faucets, right? Whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And you know what? If you're in the Bay Area and you want this to happen too, you want Brian and Brian to come down and, you know, pipe us in through Zoom and do all that kind of stuff. Or if you want to be on the show, send us a beer, brian@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send Brian Cooper an email and hopefully harass him. And then send him a couple pictures of your cats, but mainly harass him. And then offer to send in some beer or bring them into the club. And you guys can have a live judging like this too. I think it was pretty fun and it was pretty useful. So anyway, thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you.